The Bible reading this morning is Psalm 20, found on page 553 in the Pew Bibles. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the king. Answer us when we call. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I wonder if you can remember what it was like being a kid thinking about royalty. In the stories that we tell kids, the king, the queen, they are noble, they're brave. The king is courageous. He is the one who goes out and fights the dragons. He's the one who cares for his people with real integrity. And then we get a bit older, and we learn about Henry VIII and others like him, and we discover life is just a bit more complicated. And yet there is still part of us that longs for a leader who will be our protector, who will guide us to safety. You see it in the media at the moment. Half the country looking to that nice Mr. Johnson to be our rescuer, and the other half of the country looking to that nice Mr. Corbyn to be our rescuer. Okay, maybe not, but you know what I mean. We still have that longing for a savior. We're longing for a leader who has the kind of integrity that we can trust our lives to. And if you feel anything of that kind of longing this morning, Psalm 20 might just be exactly what we need to hear. It is written by, or perhaps for, the man who came closest to embodying all the ideals of the perfect king. King David of Israel, that's there in the heading to the psalm. It's a psalm of David. And as we read through it, we discover in the first verse, we are praying for someone. We're praying for God's blessing on someone. If you've got a Bible, a church Bible, it's on page 553, or get it up on a phone if you want to follow it along. Verse 1, we're praying, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. And we think, well, who are we praying for? Verse 6, we discover we're praying for the anointed one. That's the Hebrew word for Messiah, for the king. And that's spelt out again. Verse 9, O Lord, save the king. It's the verse that our national anthem comes from. God save the king. God save the queen. And the setting for the psalm seems to be that the king is going out to war. He's going to fight, and the people are looking at him sitting on his horse in his armor, and they are praying for him. And he is going out to fight against one of those armies of bullies that attacked Israel from time to time. And they are praying for God's blessing. Verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offering. And the people are saying to the king, we are completely with you. We are 100% behind you, because our destiny is so tightly bound up with yours. If you win, well, then we enjoy all the blessings of peacetime and security. And if you lose, it's too dreadful to think about. The jackboots of our enemies will be marching through our streets. Our homes will be burnt. We'll never see our children again. We are 100% behind you, because our destinies are completely caught up with you. And this king in Psalm 20, he is a good man. And so the people are praying that his prayers would be answered. May he give you the desire of your heart, verse 4, and make all your plans succeed. We'll shout for joy when you're victorious, and we'll lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. See, this king is a man of such integrity that people can pray that his prayers would be answered and mean that from the bottom of their hearts. And this is a king who trusts God. Verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, in the cruise missiles, the aircraft carriers of their day. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. The king of Israel, by law, wasn't allowed to have lots of chariots and horses, because God's people were to be people who trusted in him. And the end result of that, verse 8, is that they are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. As an irony, those who are bowed down in worship before God in the end will stand victorious, the psalmist says. And those who arrogantly try to stand against him will find themselves brought down. And I take it there is one massive problem with this psalm. And the problem is we have no one to sing it to. There just is no ruler in world history who is like King David. Actually, not even King David lived up to the ideals of this psalm. We are very privileged to live in a country with one of the most widely admired and respected monarchs in the world. We are so grateful for Her Majesty the Queen, but she would be the first to say that she is far from perfect. Her power is very limited. She prorogues Parliament because they ask her to. Her government have asked her to. But there are those rulers around the world who do have huge power, and their peoples know about their brutality. I take it none of us are praying that God would give Kim Jong-un of North Korea the desires of his heart and make all his plans succeed. Who can we pray this to? Just in human history, there has never been a king worthy of Psalm 20. And I read this, and my heart aches, because I think if only there was a leader who was worthy of this. And there never has been. There never has been until the first century, when in Israel there was a king who was crowned in the most unusual coronation. I wonder if you heard that as Jean read to us from John 19 earlier. It was emphasized again and again. The soldiers twisted together what? A crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe, the clothing of monarchy. They went up to him again and again saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him in the face. The charge against Jesus is that he claimed to be a king who opposed Caesar. Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king. Shall I crucify your king?" His notice that he put on the cross said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And the chief priests hated that. They said, "Don't write that. Write that he claimed to be the King of the Jews." And Pilate said, "What I've written. See, what was the cross of the Lord Jesus? It was the coronation of the only king in all of history who has been worthy of Psalm 20. And as he died on the cross, as he took the punishment that you and I deserve, well, he was defeating the power of sin and death and the devil for everyone who trusts in him. He is the king that we have longed for since we were children, that the king, the kind of king that we cheered for in the storybooks. The king who is courageous, who is full of love and compassion for his people, who is the giant slayer. And so the punchline of this psalm is that there is one king, and only one king, who is worthy of the kind of praise that we find in this psalm. He is the one who, if we stand against him, makes us guilty of treason. Because as he died in shame on the cross, God there appointed him as King of the universe. If we try to stand against him, we will feel his wrath. But the wonderful, wonderful good news of the gospel of Jesus is that our destiny, if we will trust in him, is completely wrapped up in his. A bit like the people seeing the king going out to battle. The New Testament uses language of us being in Jesus, so that as he dies, we die with him. As he rises to new life, as he's saved from death, we are saved with him. As we read verse 6, as we see Jesus in our mind's eye walk out of the tomb that first Easter Sunday, our hearts are meant to be cheering. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed, and as he saves him, he has saved us. And the call of the psalm is to join in the cheering as we cheer the King of heaven. God save the King who has saved us. Amen.